Deep discussions with AI. For success today, you don't need to know all the answers. Just have good questions. Chatting to AI is different to normal speech, and I hope you enjoy listening to the show whilst getting ideas on how to hone your questions to get the most out of AI. My name is Paul Allen. Good morning, ChatGPT.
Good morning. How's it going today?
Good, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you. Just here and ready to help. Anything exciting on your agenda today?
Well, I thought I'd have a conversation with you. I've got an interesting question for you.
Ooh, I love interesting questions. I'm all ears, so go ahead and hit me with it.
Okay, so I went to see a doctor last week, and he was a skin specialist, and after a bit of work, I had a little scar. It cut a bit of a little chunk out of my skin, and it was all good. But when it finished, and we had a little chat afterwards, the doctor said, "Look, be careful with this. Don't get it out into the sun, because if you do, it will react badly with sun. So you need to keep it out of the sun for about 6 months. So if you're in the sun, you need to put suntan lotion on." To which I replied, I said, "I'd keep it out of the sun, but I don't really use suntan lotion." And the specialist then said to me, "Well, you realize that if you get any amount of tanning, you are doing skin damage, and that can put you at a higher risk of having skin cancer." So I'd say I was a bit surprised about that. I've always tried to avoid getting sunburnt, especially living in Australia when I did. But I'm curious as to what evidence there is to support this view. So I'm specifically interested to know what the best evidence there is. Well, I'll tell you what, before we get into that, can you tell me a sort of hierarchy of scientific evidence? So there's different studies that can be done. What are the best ones, and what are the worst ones in order? And we'll talk about that at a sort of high level first, and then we'll get into this question that I've got about skin cancer and suntanning. So first of all, can you give me an overview of the different types of studies that can be conducted and how they're regarded with regards to the level of confirmation that they infer by the completion of them?
Absolutely. So in terms of the hierarchy of scientific evidence, it generally goes something like this, from strongest to weakest. One, systematic reviews and the meta-analyses. These are comprehensive reviews of multiple studies on a topic and are considered the gold standard because they combine data from several high-quality studies. Two, randomized controlled trials, RCTs. These are experiments where participants are randomly assigned to different groups to test the effect of an intervention. They're very powerful for determining causality. Three, cohort studies. These involve following a group of people over time to see how certain exposures affect outcomes. Four, case control studies. These compare people with a specific condition, cases, to those without it, controls, to identify potential causes. Five, cross-sectional studies. These look at data from a population at one specific point in time. Six, case reports and case series. These are detailed reports on a single patient or small group of patients, and are considered the least robust. Expert opinions. These are based on the experience of experts, and are the least strong in terms of evidence. So that gives you a general sense of how evidence is ranked.
Okay. So with these meta studies, surely not. Is there any way of determining that a meta study? Because if it's a meta study, it's my understanding this is a study of studies, and you're trying to use the evidence to synthesize a result. But obviously, this will only be as good as the studies that it is based on. Is there any way of rating meta studies based on the studies that they're based on? You know, so say the study could be based on a bunch of scientific studies that were maybe number three on your list. Another one could be based on just number two on your list or number five on your list. Is there any way of identifying the quality of the meta-analysis?
Absolutely. You've hit the nail on the head. The quality of a meta-analysis does depend heavily on the quality of the studies it includes. There are a few ways to assess this. One, quality of included studies. Meta-analyses often assess the quality of the individual studies they include. They may use tools like the Cochrane Risk of Bias tool to evaluate how reliable each study is. Two, heterogeneity. This refers to how different the included studies are from each.
So wait a minute. Let me just drill down on that. So is there a sort of language? Are there words used to describe, I don't know, a rating system or something where you can say, oh, this meta-analysis, this isn't based on studies of this caliber, and this is based on studies of this caliber. How would I easily distinguish it rather than, you know, just reading the study and making my own evaluation of the quality of these other studies? Is there any way of doing that?
Yeah, there are definitely some ways to get a quick sense of the quality. Often, meta-analyses will include a section that summarizes the quality of the included studies. They'll often mention the risk of bias and the general level of evidence. Some journals also provide a grading system like GRADE, which stands for Grading of Recommendations, Assessment, Development, and Evaluations. It provides a clear rating of the quality of evidence from high to very low. So if you see something that mentions the grade rating, that's a good indicator. Otherwise, looking at the quality assessment sections in the meta-analysis can give you a quick overview.
Okay, so I think for the purposes of my conversation, I think we might ignore the meta-studies because I think that was going to make life too complicated because there's too many variables there. If we can talk about, I think we'll be talking about specific studies because it will be easier to understand those. Otherwise, if we're talking about a meta-analysis, we're going to have to understand all the studies that it's based on. And some of those will be relevant, some of them won't be relevant. And I suspect that there'll only be a couple of studies that will be particularly pertinent to the question that I'm trying to ask. So with these studies, you said that the best one, I guess, would be a meta-analysis where the studies that is based on are all the second order, which would be the randomized control trial tests. So are there any randomized control trial tests that show a correlation or causation between tanning and the likelihood of getting skin cancer?
That's a great point. Randomized controlled trials are a bit tricky in this context because it wouldn't be ethical to randomly assign people to get more sun exposure to study skin cancer risk. So most of the evidence on the link between tanning and skin cancer comes from observational studies, like cohort studies and case control studies. These studies have consistently shown a strong association between UV exposure, tanning, and increased skin cancer risk. So while we don't have RCTs specifically on this, the evidence from these observational studies is still very robust. We can definitely dive into those details if you want.
So back to your criteria around the quality of scientific study. For a singular study, the best one was a randomized control trial test, and that was there aren't any human studies of that. Would the second most persuasive piece of evidence be randomized control trial test with animals, or would it be one of these cohort studies or whatever the other ones were that were further down the list? Where would you rate these in order?
Yeah, great question. So if we're looking at the next best level of evidence after randomized control trials in humans, we consider well-designed cohort studies or case control studies. These are observational, but they follow people over time or compare groups, and it can still show strong associations and suggest causality. Animal studies can definitely provide valuable insights, especially in understanding mechanisms, but they're generally considered a step below human studies because humans and animals can differ in how they respond.
Okay, so human studies, cohort studies are probably the best. Was number three in your list, was that a cohort human study? Is that what it was? I can't remember.
Yes, exactly. Cohort studies were number three on the list. They follow a group of people over time to see how certain exposures affect outcomes, which gives them a pretty strong level of evidence. So yeah, that would be the next.
So if you take a randomized controlled trial study as gold, what is the limitations of a cohort study?
Cohort studies are definitely very valuable, but they do have some limitations. One big one is that they're observational, so they can show associations, but not definitive causation. There's also the potential for confounding factors, meaning other variables might influence the results. They can also be time-consuming and expensive, because they feel like participants for a long period, and there's always the risk of loss to follow-up, which can bias the results. But overall, they're still pretty strong.
Okay. Can you explain the concept of statistical significance when it comes to these kind of studies?
Absolutely. Statistical significance is basically a measure of whether the results of a study are like we do to chance, or if they reflect a real effect. Typically, it's determined by something called a p-value. If the p-value is below a certain threshold, often 0.05, it suggests that the observed effect is unlikely to have happened by random chance. However, it's important to remember that statistical significance doesn't always mean practical significance, and it doesn't prove causation. It just helps us understand how likely the results are to be real and not due to random chance.
If a study shows a difference but does not show a statistical significance, how worthwhile is that seen in the terms of scientific evidence?
When a study shows a difference that isn't statistically significant, it means that the observed difference could very well be due to chance, and we can't be confident that there's a real effect. That doesn't mean the study's worthless, though. I can still provide valuable information, especially if the sample size is small or has a lot of variability in the data. It might just mean we need more research or a larger sample to see if the effect is real. So still a piece of the puzzle, but we just have to interpret it with a bit.
So if it is not statistically significant, how is it valuable? Wow.